Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Here we are, another edition of Locked On Kings. I'm Jason Ross. Thank you for finding us, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher, all the different outlets that we have out there. I tweet it, put it on Facebook as well. We do thank you for being a regular part of our routine here daily. Remember, listen when you want, every day, Monday through Friday, talking about your Sacramento Kings here on Locked On Kings. Great stuff across the entirety of the network, whether it's Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy, Locked On any other team. If you're trying to check in on whatever anybody else is doing in another market, you can find it, whether it's Locked On Raptors, anywhere. Just check it all out. Along the entirety of the network. Today on the podcast, more draft coverage. We've just been hitting that hot and heavy, and it's going very, very well with the draft coming up. Aaron Bruschi will be joining us here in just a moment from hoop-ball.com. Aaron's been on the podcast before, so we'll check in with him in just a moment. But want to tell you about one of the great things that's out there, because you like to go to these games in person, see all the great events and highlights and moments and memories. We'll do it with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way for you to find tickets to the games that you want to go to, that you'll be able to be up close and in person in your seats. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and you could do that with SeatGeek. It's never been easier to get those seats guaranteed with a great value. The SeatGeek app is how you do it. It's the easiest way for you to shop for tickets. You can literally be anywhere in just a few taps, and the tickets that you want, they're right there. They're yours. And with SeatGeek, you get the best deals because they've already compared prices for you and they grade every ticket, so you'll find the best deals that fit inside your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you'll shop with confidence and you'll be able to go to the game. So best of all of you out there that have been supportive here on Locked On Kings, you guys will get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. So here's what you do. To get that $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Then you enter LO Kings. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made that first ticket request. It's that easy. And you got tickets and you'll be at the game. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Kings. Again, download that SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Kings. Well, we've talked to Aaron Bruschi before, and we want him back again here on Locked On Kings. He's covered the NBA for a long time, NBA writer, but also, Aaron, we probably should start with kind of the latest little nugget you threw out there today, and I quickly did a Twitter follow as well for Hoopball Kings. Everybody loves our Kings, so what can you tell us about that new Twitter handle that's out there and floating out there in that Twitterverse?
Well, this is a Kings podcast, I suppose. So, no, Hoopball Kings is one of the things that, you know, I've always said that the Kings coverage is near and dear to my heart because, you know, I think since about 2012 or 2013, whenever I started covering the relocation story for NBC, I've just been locked in this Kings world. And so I've gone through it. And definitely when we started up Hoopball, there was a lot of interest in writing about the Kings from folks here in Sacramento, but even from around the world. Our editor for the Kings stuff right now is Jake Fitzgibbon, who's actually a New Zealander. Oh, wow. Of all places. And kind of one of the cool things about starting Hoopball is we have writers and contributors on like every continent except Antarctica. or if it is the Arctic Circle its own continent, I'm not even sure.
I failed all that in school anyway.
Yeah, we're not so good at geography here, are we?
No.
We took these guys, and you know, I'm very picky about coverage being accurate. And making sure that everything's presented fairly and properly. So, you know, we've got this group of writers here that are all aspiring journalists. And so I've just worked with them for the last year and a half, making sure that they learn the ropes. You know, it's not easy to get things right. It's not easy to get things, you know, done the right way or accurately. anybody that's kind of climbed the ladder, I'm sure yourself, you could attest to the work that you've done getting good at this gig. So we worked with them, and they've definitely earned their stripes. And so we released a Twitter handle, Hoopball Kings, and it really just represents that we're taking another step forward in our coverage. So you'll see a lot more breaking news type stuff, but also analytic pieces. And as we get into the season, pre and post game updates and kind of the whole shebang. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure the listeners will recall the old Cowbell Kingdom with James Hamm and John Santiago. That's two guys that I've patterned a lot of what we do with, not just the Kings coverage, but other teams that are coming on board, you know, to kind of become beat bloggers, if you will.
There you go.
I don't know if blogger's kind of a bad word these days, but it's something that I think these guys are ready for, so I'm excited to release it.
Yeah, and more Kings content. Obviously, that's what we're doing here, too, getting people to just take it all in, taking hoops, taking their Kings. So Hoopball Kings, and also at hoopball.com, you've got a ton of stuff there, so we encourage people to check all that out. And the Kings are kind of relevant right now just because the draft is coming up, Aaron, and at 5, at 10, at 34, they seem to be players in this. We don't know if those are the spots they'll end up, but I actually think this is a they're in a good spot for a change entering the NBA draft with some young guys, some cap room, and if they draft well, there actually may be some signs of success coming up for the Kings. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, they are certainly relevant right now. I mean, especially just sitting on 5 and 10 in a draft that is pretty loaded. I will also add the disclaimer that I'm not a season-long NCAA draft guy. I think that I will defer to some of the great professionals out there like Mike Schmitz and others out there that really, really do this for a living. That's their main gig. But, you know, looking at the film, you know, for the say the top 25 guys or so, you know, I do think there's a lot of talent in this draft. I think it might be wider than it is deep. But with Kings at 5 and 10, you know, they're kind of in a sweet spot for that. Though I'm gonna go out here and say that if it was the Draft Express mock draft that happened on draft day and they walked away with Tatum and Dennis Smith, I think I would feel disappointed for Kings fans because I don't think that would be an optimized draft. But that's just one scenario. I think there's a lot of scenarios where the Kings can do very well. And I think that not just the Kings, but I think there could be a lot of trading in this draft.
I totally agree. I think it's going to be a wild night. I think there's a lot of potential for that. And now that we're within a week and a half or so of this, a lot of stuff is coming out. How much of that do you believe? Like, I think one of the latest on Monday was De'Aaron Fox will now not work out for the Phoenix Suns. Well, he picks right in four. The Kings have to wait for the Suns pick at four. I don't know whether that's real, what's not, and just there's a lot of stuff, I'll just say, going on. How much of that stuff do you believe?
Man, you hit it on the head. There is so much stuff. I mean, you could go down the list, and how much do I believe before I go down that list? I don't believe much of it. I mean, maybe 20% of it. And there's you can see what's kind of real and what's not when a lot of different folks weigh in and they kind of have the same story. So you can give a little bit more credibility to those style reports. But each team in the top five has a very unique story. If it's Boston, are you going to go with Fultz? And it seems like they probably will. But and I do think that Fultz can play with Isaiah Thomas, but it's not exactly ideal. You know, you can see them try to do something interesting on draft day, which would be of the blockbuster variety. Lonzo Ball, you know, everybody's favorite player to talk about, you know, apparently comes into a workout out of shape, though I don't think I buy that report. And Philly really, each of the players that they're really looking at don't fit what they're doing right now. So you look at them marketing that number three pick. And right now, Draft Express has De'Aaron Fox at four to Phoenix, who he doesn't want to work out for. And they don't need a point guard. So right there in your top four picks, this thing could swing any direction. You got the Kings sitting there at five, needs it point guard, needs it a small forward. But really, you know, kind of at the you know, sitting there waiting for other teams to play their hand.
So I'm curious, Aaron, who are a couple of your favorites? Not for any team, not for Boston or for the Kings or for anybody specific, but if you were a decision maker and you're looking at this going, I just need to add talent, this player or these couple of guys will make us better. Is there a couple of guys that you just think as close to a can't miss in your mind?
Ooh, a can't miss player. I mean, here's the thing.
If there's such a thing, right?
I mean, I don't think there is in this draft, to be perfectly honest. That's the weirdest thing to say, given how much hype this draft has gotten. But Markelle Fultz, I'm not impressed with his defense at all. In fact, he looks like a maybe slightly better D'Angelo Russell to me. So I throw a number one pick with all the hype and what that number one pick costs. I'm not sure he's a can't miss guy with ball. I think he has a lot of different issues that the folks have talked about with the shooting range and will his game translate to the NBA. Though if he does fall to five at the Kings, I think that's a pretty interesting development. I think that the Kings fans should probably be open to that. He fits a lot of what the Kings need right now. So that's pretty interesting. As far as can't miss, though, you know, Josh Jackson's the guy listed underneath him on a lot of draft boards. His jumper is something that, you know, we just don't know if it's going to work itself out. You compare guys that have come out of college, like Kawhi Leonard, who might have a similar athletic build, and Kawhi Leonard's jumper wasn't as whack as Josh Jackson's is. So, you know, that's just the top three guys. Can't miss or guys that I think that if I'm in a five or I'm in a 10, you know, if a Jonathan Isaac was to somehow fall to 10, or even if you're getting him in the 5, 6, 7, 8 range, I think that he's got just tremendous upside. You know, we're really just talking about a guy who needs to tie together the offensive components of his game. You know, he's very raw. He's kind of barely got a jump shot, but it's something that you can build off of. And with his athleticism, we've seen what Jaylen Brown, who did not look good in film for Cal last year, you know, just with the sheer athleticism, as long as there's a basic foundation for skills, you know, those things can be improved upon at the next level. And when you saw Jaylen Brown toward the end of the season for Boston, you really got a sense for how good he could be.
And what I'm thinking with these guys too, it's such, you know, an inexact science. You talk about Jaylen Brown by the end, you're right. He was a much different player in the Eastern Conference Finals. But one thing that's been mentioned lately, and I'm looking at this draft board and past draft boards, freshmen, all young guys. And, you know, I think Adam Silver kind of flirted with the thought of an age limit or changing that. I don't know. I mean, would the league be that much better if these guys were sophomores, or is it more of a benefit to college basketball? How do you think that would play out if we get to that spot where they force an age limit of maybe another year older?
You know, I think they would be better, but it's really hard to tell these guys they shouldn't be able to earn a living. And I think everybody that's connected with the game that isn't connected with the NCAA in some way, so your NBA guys, all sort of look at this and go, why can't this guy come out of school and make money? It's really not fair. I mean, would they learn a little bit more in that second year of school, and would it add a little bit more stability to the game and yield maybe better rookies at the end of the day? Possibly. But, you know, the difference between college and NBA coaching and all the staffs that, you know, you line them up next to each other, there's no difference between what, you know, these guys are going to learn in the NBA versus what they're going to learn in the NCAA. It's going to be a lot more comprehensive of training in the NBA. And so while you'll have more guys fall out the bottom of it, you know, because of the obvious reasons, either they're not good enough, or, you know, the minute they get money, they fall off the rails for whatever reason. On the whole, they're going to progress faster through their development, the ones that do work out. So I think there's some teams that, you know, have been burnt in the past. Some owners have been burnt in the past, you know, and fans have seen a bunch of busts, you know, that have been these younger guys. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, you got to look at the NCAA and decide, is this situation something that we want in general, whether we're NBA fans or NCAA fans? Because, you know, these guys not getting paid, it was an argument that I think won people over, you know, 20 years ago. I think now that there's enough information and transparency surrounding the subject that most people feel like the NCAA should not be making the type of money that it's making without these players getting right. paid. So I would think that the NBA is probably ready to help usher in that new era where maybe we don't see an age limit.
Yeah. So back to the Kings and five. You had said earlier, maybe Kings fans, yourself maybe included, would be, I don't know, frustrated, but maybe disappointed was the answer if it was Tatum and, let's say, Dennis Smith at 5 and 10. But if it's Fox, which seemingly every single Kings fan is raving for, would that be good? Would De'Aaron Fox at five, in your mind, be a good draft night, no matter what happens at 10? If he's there at five, is that a good night for the Kings?
Yeah, that's a great night for the Kings because, you know, they've been dying to get a point guard ever since Isaiah Thomas left. And the draft has been especially wicked to them in that department. And there's not a great point guard situation in free agency for the Kings. So they, and I think this is some of what you're hearing from, you know, Philly as they market the number three pick. I think they know that the Kings are hungry for that point guard position. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of what you're going to hear out of Philly might have to do with seeing if they can get the Kings to step up and buy up. And, you know, you're hearing these reports of combining the 5 and the 10 to get the 3. That would be,
that's crazy.
That would be malpractice if the Kings were to look at something like that, because you definitely want two bites at the apple, and there's not enough, you know, upside in sliding up two picks for that. But yeah, that would be a great draft. And he's a real exciting player. I mean, his body composition, he's going to get stronger, but he's never really going to get heavy. He's going to have tremendous athleticism. Obviously, the jump shot is the concern there. But I do think he's going to get stronger and be able to play through contact. So issues, you know, that you've seen on film where he can't turn the corner once he gets to the lane, and the slightest amount of contact bumps him off of his axis. That stuff I don't think is going to be a problem. And shooting is a skill that, as long as somebody's jumper's not whack, you know, the NBA can get in there and help turn people into good shooters. So I think, I mean, when you talk can't miss prospects, he's pretty close. I don't know that he's got the upside of some of these, you know, other number one picks that we've seen in the past, or number two or three picks, but he's definitely, to me, one of the more can't miss guys in this draft. And then as far as Tatum goes, I mean, I think he's going to come in and be productive right away in the NBA. I think he's going to score. I mean, it kind of reminds me maybe a little bit of Dario Saric in the way that he could come in his first year and produce. He might have more of a mellow Carmelo Anthony-like game mm-hmm. than a Saric, but in terms of like speed and athleticism and what he brings to the table, I think that the impact might be similar. I'm just worried for his sake, you know, once the pounds kick in and he's not young anymore in year 4 or 5, is he going to be able to turn the corner athletically, you know, against 3s and 4s? And defensively, I think there's going to be major issues there. So while he might fit a need right now for the Kings in terms of future upside, I don't know that the Kings would extend him to his second contract.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in my mind, I'm always trying to paint all the scenarios of what could happen, because for example, I've been on 2 mock drafts where I've had to pick for the Kings at 5, and I've been able to get Fox. It's not foolproof, doesn't mean that's the way it's going to go, but part of the key was in both cases, Phoenix took Isaac at 4, and I went, okay, and Tatum's been the one that slipped, allowing Fox to go at 5. But, yeah, I'm wrestling with that in my head, Aaron. Like, I don't really think the Kings should trade up to get De'Aaron Fox, because I think he'll be there at 5. But, boy, you run the risk of not getting him, and then kind of, like you explained, maybe a lean free agency point guard situation for them. And if you don't get Dennis Smith at 10, then what are you in a spot where you're throwing $17 million at Darren Collis? I mean, like, what would they do if they lost out on 2 point guards, maybe at 5 and 10?
Well, and here's the interesting thing. So Phoenix is a crazy sports organization right now. You know, if any team was going to relocate, I would think it would be Phoenix, just because wow. of the way ownership.
Breaking news.
You know, I've said this in a couple places, so I kind of feel bad bringing it up. But, you know, just being around that beat and knowing how things work, that's just kind of what I think. But they have this interesting scenario where, you know, Eric Bledsoe is great for them, but he's got this extensive injury history. Brandon Knight is obviously not happy there, and I don't think they're happy with him. So he's the guy they'd love to move, but he's underwater on his contract. He's an injury risk as well. So they got those two guys and Tyler Ulis, who I think Tyler Ulis has all-star potential.
I agree.
So they've got 3 point guards. Now, the fact that I'm staring at a draft board right now that's got De'Aaron Fox at number 4.
Doesn't make sense.
Really, it really cracks me up because, you know, maybe in their mind, they're going to try to package, you know, Brandon Knight, get him out of town for, you know, whatever they can get him out of town for. Maybe try to keep a hold of Tyler Ulis. Or, I mean, if I'm another team that needs a point guard, I'd be calling Phoenix to see, can I get Ulis? You know, can I get Bledsoe? They're probably going to want too much for Bledsoe, but I think you might be able to get Ulis cheap and address a point guard position if you are the Kings. Speaking to just the wackiness of this draft, when you've got 3 and 4 so fluid with what they could do. But I mean, assuming Phoenix does draft Fox or whatever happens, say Philly takes Fox, and then, you know, Phoenix is I guess, taking Josh Jackson in this scenario. I don't know, or say Lonzo Ball falls. Mm-hmm. To me, that might be the more accurate scenario is the Lakers decide that they don't want Lonzo Ball. They take somebody like either Josh Jackson or De'Aaron Fox, and you're sitting there at five and you're looking at Tatum. I'd probably pull the trigger on Jonathan Isaac.
Instead of Tatum,
because okay. The upside is tremendous. And think about the Kings, too. They're not winning anything for the next 3 years. You know, 4 years even would probably be a fair assessment. So if Tatum doesn't project well long-term physically, you know, and Isaac is the guy that probably needs a year or two to get, you know, the game underneath his belt and to really improve, but he's got all of the physical upside.
The higher ceiling.
I think Isaac's got a better career track that matches up with the Kings.
Let me ask you this then. So if you're in that spot, you say Isaac over Tatum. What if for some reason, somehow, some way, the choice is Isaac or Jackson? What's your choice?
I think you got to take Jackson. Okay. I know some people that I respect that have Isaac higher than Jackson, which is to me crazy. But yeah, Jackson's got too high of a floor as well as a very high ceiling. I don't think, especially with the Kings needing a small forward, he fits the bill right away. And mostly, you know, when you look at what the Kings are trying to do, there's also, you know, we talk about Dennis Smith as a guy that some people have really, really high, and looking at, Lonzo Ball, the Kings really do need that kind of a style of player. De'Aaron Fox falls in this category as well, is a facilitating, but they don't need the Dennis Smith style player. They need the facilitating point guard because of the guys on their team. And you got a Buddy Hield that really, I don't think you want dribbling as much as you want making plays off of one or two dribbles and shooting. Well, you need somebody to set him up that isn't going to require a lot of shots, in my opinion, because you know, eventually you're going to be developing Scal to be one of your go-to guys. Having a kind of a shoot-first point guard next to a sort of shoot-first shooting guard, I think that might throw the balance for the Kings out of whack.
I know. I don't think there's probably almost a 0% chance that Fultz is there at five. But but almost everything else seems like it's possible. I know Ball is two. Well, maybe three. I mean, but is there, and you said Kings fans should open their mind to that possibility. What percent chance could this universe show us that Lonzo Ball is somehow there at five?
Percentage chance. I'd say 20.
Oh, it's that high in your mind. Okay. I mean, I feel like he's a wild card in one sense. To me, Aaron, he personally makes the most sense to me, honestly, to Boston. But I don't think they're going to do it. I think he fits in a ready-made team with good players. I think he'll thrive. But assuming he doesn't go there, it's weird that he might. Is there a chance at 20%, you say, maybe to five?
The hard part with Boston is the minute you subtract shooting off the floor, they get pretty easy to cover.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So theoretically, if he was to develop a shot, and that's the hope, of course, for anybody that drafts him, then, yeah, a ready-made team with a bunch of pros on it would be a great spot for him because he can play. But, you know, as far as you look at kind of what the Lakers have to deal with as well, I mentioned it earlier, they have D'Angelo Russell, and he's a guy that needs the ball in his hands. And my thoughts are, and some Lakers fans would kill me for this, I think the Lakers need to just basically sell on D'Angelo Russell while there's still a pretty good amount of value for him. I think a lot of teams, even though there's, you know, the off the court stuff and the on the court stuff, and, you know, I'm sure the trained eye looks at him and says, you know what, here's a guy that might not ever get it. But there's still a lot of teams out there that would look at him and say, you know what, we can fix him. You know, we're willing to gamble and we're willing to pay big to get this kind of a player on our team. But if you put Lonzo Ball on the floor next to D'Angelo Russell and D'Angelo Russell wants to handle, you know, be the primary ball handler, you've really kind of taken what Lonzo Ball does well and really negated it. So I think the Lakers are really struggling internally because, you know, D'Angelo Russell is not a guy that the new regime brought in. And so until they figure out what they want to do there with that and really weigh out the entire marketplace and figure, is somebody going to reach up and maybe take this two pick and give them something really, really good in return? And that's why I think you saw the smokescreen report that he was out of shape in practice. And I think they even might have misquoted the kid a little bit. You know, he might have been a little too honest when he said he was tired at the end of the thing. But if the Lakers go a different direction – by all means, if they take a Josh Jackson, or if they make a trade, or if, you know, however this thing goes, and Lonzo Ball has a precipitous fall, which we've seen all sorts of times in drafts, I could see him landing with the Kings, and I think that that would be a pretty good deal for them at five.
Yeah, I agree completely. I don't know that it's going to happen, but I could see it. Just someone, it happens to somebody, and you could maybe see why it could be him based on the point guard needs of other teams and so on and so forth. Speaking of point guards, I try not to read too much into this, but it's hard not to at least want to read into it. The Kings are going to have Frank Mason in for a second interview, College Player of the Year. I talked to Bobby Jackson on the podcast yesterday. He personally loved him, but he's not five. He's not 10. Kings pick 34. Sure, they'd love him there, but will he last? Reading too much into this, or what do you think? Maybe Kings trying to move down from 10 to get him later? I don't know. Maybe it's nothing, but a second workout has always kind of piqued my interest why the team likes him so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's currently 48 on Draft Express, and I think what you find is anything from 10 to 50 is just fair game in these drafts. Last year, that Draft Express from 10 to 50 was basically irrelevant, and that's a great value for teams that draft well. That early second round pick's been a place that you've seen a lot of good players go in the past. If they took Frank Mason in the early second round, I don't think that I would have a problem with it. I think that, you know, he's shown the ability to hit some big shots, and you know, you're not going to probably give him more than a 10 to 20% chance of being something special. But you know, could he also help fortify the point guard position? You know, be a third point guard until he was able to learn the NBA game and the speed of the NBA game, you know, and maybe in the second half of the season, pick up some backup minutes. Yeah, I'd give him a pretty good shot at that. So that would be a good one for them if they were to pick him up at 34.
What do you think about, there's four teams that I looked this up, I didn't, was a little surprised, but four good teams, great teams, Golden State, the Cavaliers, Clippers, and Memphis. They're all traditionally been playoff teams. They don't have a pick, and you know, it's not the only way to get better in the NBA, but any chance that any of those four are intrigued to, hey, we got to get in somewhere, middle of the first, lottery, second round, somewhere. Are those teams going to be active, you think, of getting into the draft somewhere?
You know, I would, yes, I think anytime you have a draft like this where, you know, guys as deep as really 20, you know, there's some case that can be made as far as the upside goes, other than just the old Hail Mary. Anybody could, you know, the number 60 pick was Isaiah Thomas. Anything could happen. But no, I think the top 20, you know, in this draft, you can really make a legitimate case. So these guys, I mean, look at Memphis. They are basically stuck.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a pick. They don't really have a choice but to re-sign the band. And they really only have $10 million in cap space, whether or not they re-sign those guys or not. So I think that they're, you know, especially with the career arc of some of their players, like Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, you know, these guys probably have 2 to 3 good years, and it's probably more like 2 left. So, yeah, I think if they want to kind of remortgage the future a little bit and see what they can do on draft day and move up, again, I think this is one of the more I think you're going to see more action in this draft than we've seen in a while.
Aaron, you brought up cap space. That's another asset the Kings actually do have. We know it's difficult for them to land free agents, but they got to pay somebody and some people. How active do you think they'll be in free agency, or will their route be more of trades via taking on some contracts from other teams? How do you think they'll play that?
They could, this is one of the problems that the Kings have right now, is they have a lot of youth, too much youth even, if you can make that case. So if they were to trade one of these picks, the 5 or the 10, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. Now, kind of back to that window of being competitive, for the next 2 to 3 years, they're not going to be competitive. So I think they can afford to take on somebody's slightly underwater contracts on some of the veterans. If teams looking to get younger, to purge some of the money that they've got, you know, we talked about Portland, I think, mm-hmm. on the CSN podcast the other day. It's the Kings have so many different options here, and they do need to bring in some veterans. So I think somebody who's got, you know, excessive money for the next 1 to 2 years, 3 years even, and the Kings can take that cap hit and start to add a little bit more competitiveness. You saw this at the end of last year, you know, instead of just completely going into the tank, you know, or completely tanking, well, the Kings did their fair share of tanking. as they went. Just these guys playing better basketball, having better teammates, having better outcomes, it all kind of filters into the same developmental track. And so, you don't want these kids, they're already 5,000 to 1 to win the NBA finals, and, probably going to have an over under of like 30 games, 30 wins this year, add a couple veterans, make their lives easier. And, a 10 pick would probably, in my mind, be worth it, in this draft to, to kind of pass up on another rookie and to see if you can bring in a high quality vet at a position of need, like small forward.
So 5,000 to 1. What's a comfortable number for Aaron Brewski to put up to, you want to get some money back, but you're like, well, I also don't want to be foolish. What where's your limit there on that bet?
Zero. I'm not putting a single dollar on the Kings winning the NBA finals.
No, you're not going to win anything when it happens.
I might get suckered into the old over.
Oh, there you go.
It happens every year. I can't believe last year that after all of the chaos, they still won, 33 games?
It's pretty amazing.
It's crazy. And the over under was 34, and then I pushed the year before that. So we'll see how that goes.
last thing for you, Aaron. Again, we appreciate all your time. Hoopball.com, and also it's hoop-ball.com, and then Hoopball Kings. Check out that new site on Twitter as well. What's a perfect night for the Kings? We have to assume they're 5-10. I mean, we can make up trades and all that, but just assuming 5-10. I won't have you push out as far as 34 unless you want to, but 5-10. The night ends a week from Thursday, and Kings fans would be elated if what happened in your mind?
De'Aaron Fox, because I think that there's a good connection with the players, with the team, with the organization. I think that he's taken to the city. I think he would be welcome with open arms, and I think he'd have a defined role right off the bat. And all of that stability would be just a massive win for the Kings. So at 5, that one's pretty simple. And then at 10, I'd go with Isaac, because if he falls that far, that would be shocking, and it would just check two boxes off, and you'd have all sorts of upside, and a lot of people would be excited for the Kings. You said perfect. I'll leave it at that.
That is perfect. I mean, it does seem like a stretch now, but that would be a perfect night, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Seemingly. I mean, you really, like, with Rudy Gay opting out, and I really can't see him coming back, but stranger things have happened. You do have a gaping hole at small forward. And again, there in the small forward market, there's actually a lot of value to be had with free agency. So whether you're going to play Malachi Richardson at the 3, which would ease the logjam of all these shooting guards, I do think you can go out and get a veteran small forward, a stopgap solution that makes a lot of sense while bringing these young guys in at the right pace. But that'd be perfect. You get Jonathan Isaac in there, because, a lot of people think he should be in the top 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Like I told you, in the 2 mocks I've been in, he's gone 4. So who knows? But early on, he was in that range. And so these things are always fluid. We shall see how it goes. Aaron, thank you as always. This is always fun. We encourage people to check out your stuff at hoop-ball.com and also Hoopball Kings on Twitter. And I know you've got more things in the hopper and the horizon, which are exciting as well. So as long as it's all basketball, all hoops, it's all good stuff, isn't it?
Well, thank you, Jason. We'll talk with you soon.
Well, my thanks to Aaron Brewski as we continue our draft coverage here on Locked On Kings. I agree with that 5-10 being a perfect night if they can get Fox and Isaac. Don't know if it'll happen, but we're talking about perfection. That's what we were looking for. We'll see what ends up happening a week from Thursday. Thanks again to Aaron Brewski. Thank you to all of you that were listening. Back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.